If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about this park ranger who is finally spilling his guts about what he was told to never speak about. Located in the northern part of the state of Nevada, there's this small little abandoned mining town, somewhere that is supposed to be off limits to all. But unfortunately for him, and to all those who like to break rules, you are not alone. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I'm a park ranger out in Nevada. There was an old, abandoned mining town that sat a ways off the main road. The Park Service had claimed it a while back, but people were not encouraged to visit there. In fact, it was plainly marked with signs that said, "Off limits, no trespassing, danger." Hell, about the only thing they didn't do was build a moat around the place. Sometimes I wonder if they should. Some people need to learn to read or listen, one of the two, because it seemed like I was always chasing people out of there. They'd look at me like I was crazy, but every one of them would spray gravel as they hauled ass after I'd tell them the story. I'm not supposed to tell the story. I've been warned many times, even threatened with much worse than the unemployment line. I guess maybe I need to learn how to listen too. But it was the best way to make sure people left and never came back. I'm tired of being told to keep my mouth shut. I'm tired that nothing's being done about it. We rangers are supposed to just go about our jobs and pretend it never happened. Well, I believe that's the best and quickest way for it to happen again. And I never want it to happen again. It was a while ago. That's my way of saying I forgot how long it was. But the memory's still fresh enough to tell. It was back when even I was unsure why this town was off limits. I'd heard old wives' tales and urban legends, but no one could ever commit to anything concrete. I'd asked around once and was told that I was better off not knowing. The old rangers would just tell me to mind my business and stay out of town. But something about it always intrigued me. I was never good at blindly following orders. So as often as I could, I'd find some excuse to drive past it. On that day, it was a good thing I did, or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. I noticed a small mobile home parked at the edge of the town. I knew it hadn't been there the day before. I pulled up behind it and got out of my truck. I scanned the area around. It didn't see anything moving that the wind wasn't blowing. I walked around the vehicle, and it seemed to be in good shape. None of the tires were flat. There seemed to be no good reason for them sitting there unless they were sightseeing. I peeked in the windshield but couldn't see anyone, so I went to the side door and knocked. "Park Ranger," I said. "Anybody in there?" The wind whistling was my only answer. I knocked again. "Park Ranger, is everyone all right?" No answer. I pulled on the door latch, and it opened. "I'm coming in," I said. "Just need to check and make sure everyone's okay." I pulled the door open and stepped inside. Unconsciously, I rested my hand on my sidearm. I closed the door behind me, leaving the wind outside. I looked around the camper and found plenty of food and supplies. They seemed to be very well stocked for a trip. I stepped back towards the bedroom, keeping an ear open for anything. It was eerily silent. The only thing I could hear was the sound of my boots on the linoleum as I headed back the short hallway. It wasn't a long walk until I got there. The bedroom was clean, and the bed had been made. I opened a few drawers and found clothing for a man and a woman. There was no sign of a struggle, so I went back out to the kitchen, stopping to open the bathroom door and finding two kids' toothbrushes and toothpaste sitting on the sink. Just like the bedroom, everything seemed to be in its place. I noticed the hand towel holder was empty. I looked on the floor to see if it had fallen, but the towel was just gone. I shrugged it off and went back out to the kitchen. The table was still folded down into a bed, as these smaller models were known for. Scanning around, I was hard-pressed to find anything out of the ordinary, except for the fact that no one was there. I stepped outside and the sun had disappeared. It would be dark soon. I looked around but didn't see anyone. It was as if they parked the camper at the edge of the town and went for a walk. I stepped out of the camper and turned to close the door. That was when I saw it. There was a small dot of red on the step. I leaned closer, and it looked like it could be dried blood. I tried to dismiss it as nothing. People drip blood every day for simple, non-threatening reasons. Nosebleeds, small cuts, general accidents. It could be absolutely nothing. But when you add in a missing family at the edge of an abandoned town that's supposed to be off limits, normal things don't look so normal. I didn't touch it in case it needed to be tested later for a DNA sample. And there it was. I was already starting to look at this as a crime scene. I looked down at the ground and saw my boot prints in the dirt, leading up to the camper. I also saw other tracks. There was another set of adult boot prints, a set of adult sneakers, and two different sets of smaller sneakers. Those were spooky but comforting. At least I know these people were here somewhere. They hadn't just vanished from inside the camper. No, it was the other footprints that gave me chills. They were adult-sized, and it looked like there was more than one of them. But the creepy thing about them was that they were bare feet. I couldn't imagine anyone who lived in the area being stupid enough to walk around the desert in their bare feet. Aside from the different types of scorpions, there was also snakes, spiders, and lizards, just to name a few. It was becoming more likely that I would find this family dead from stupidity. I followed the barefoot tracks and they seemed to lead around the corner of the camper. In fact, they did several laps around the camper, with frequent stops where the feet were pointed towards the camper as if looking inside. That's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. This family had been stalked. I stepped in a wider circle so I didn't disturb the footprints. It became more apparent by the minute that this was a crime scene. I pulled out my radio to call in my position and request backup or police. But my radio was strangely silent. It didn't even click when I released the talk button. The light was lit, so I knew the battery was charged. It just wasn't transmitting. The smart thing to do just then would have been to get in my truck and drive to the ranger station to report what was happening. I took one step towards the truck. That's when I heard the scream. It was a woman's scream, high and piercing. It was a scream of pain and anguish, as if her whole world had come crashing down. My fight or flight kicked in, and there wasn't an ounce of flight in it. In a heartbeat, my gun was in my hand. I turned towards the town and began following the footprints. Once they were done circling the camper, they headed straight into town. Dusk had faded and taken the light with it. I pulled out my flashlight off my belt and used it to guide me on the trail. There were a half dozen buildings all in some level of decay. I was worried about stepping into one and it just collapsing on top of me. That aside from the chance of meeting a scorpion or some other creature that didn't appreciate being disturbed in their territory. The wind had died down and the air was still.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was so quiet, I could hear my own footsteps. There was something else, too. I felt a vibration in the air. At the time, I thought it was just my heightened senses at the prospect of meeting up with a dangerous person who may have harmed that family. Even though everything within me was demanding I run towards the scream I had heard, my steps were slow and measured. I needed more input. I needed to know how many people I was dealing with. I needed to identify threats and if I would be able to deal with this without coming a victim myself. As I approached the first building, I had a strong feeling of being watched. Stepping on the porch made the boards creak threateningly. I didn't want this to end with a broken ankle or worse. I tested the boards before putting full weight on them and slowly approached the broken windows. I shone my light inside. I panned around slowly, finding a bunch of old boxes and general junk with the old wooden chair and table. I was about to move on when back in the far corner I saw a pair of eyes lit by my flashlight. I froze, my light locked onto it. The eyes seemed to be locked onto the light as well. I couldn't tell what it was, but it scared the hell out of me. I suddenly thought of the movie I had recently seen, Jurassic Park, where the actor was explaining how raptors attack, how one will draw your attention while two more sneak up on you and attack you from the side. I suddenly felt very vulnerable, as if someone was sneaking up behind me. I whipped around, pointing with my gun and flashlight, my eyes darting all around. But I couldn't see anything. I shone my light back inside, but the eyes were gone. This didn't comfort me. In fact, it did the opposite. I was in panic. I felt like I was surrounded, and they were just toying with me. I didn't even know who they were. I took a few deep breaths to get myself under control. I knew panic led to bad decisions, and I couldn't afford any bad decisions out here on my own. I shone my light back towards the camper and saw a shadow dart out of the light. I knew it was all or nothing. There was no backing out. I was being hunted, just like that family had been. I don't know what was hunting me, but it didn't matter. Whoever or whatever, it was dangerous. Focus, I told myself. Stay on your toes, remember your training. Even though my training also said don't get yourself in a bad situation, it was already too late for that. Something was near the camper. I still had no idea if this family was dead or alive. The only thing I had to go on was mysterious footprints and a scream. It was the stuff of every horror movie ever made. I just hoped I didn't end up as one of the victims that died a horrible, gory death to save some stupid teenagers who risked their own lives by blundering into something they should have left alone. I sighed, turning my flashlight back to the ground, and followed the footprints. I noticed for the first time there were other marks amongst the footprints. They had been walked over and obscured, but it looked like two long lines, like something was being dragged. I brought my flashlight back up just in time to see a set of eyes disappear behind a building on the other side of the street. I stepped up to the next building and shone my light inside to find much the same as the first, minus the eyes. I didn't linger long before turning my light back out to the streets and the other buildings. I felt like it somehow kept them at bay, as if they would work their way closer to me if I didn't shine my light their way. I didn't know how long this would last. I continued to the next building with a larger building looming larger at the end of the street. It looked like it was an old church. There was a rough shape of a steeple that had partially collapsed. I turned and flashed my light back to the street to keep the hunters back. When I stepped up to the window of the next building and shone my light inside, I found bones. Piles of bones. Most likely they were from smaller animals, but there were larger ones interspersed with them. I was sure I spotted a couple of human femurs. I tried my radio again, but it still wasn't working. The vibration in the air was getting stronger. It was oppressive, like the pressure you feel when you're underwater. The stillness in the air magnified any sound. I could hear the footsteps of someone behind me, but when I turned, I couldn't see anyone. I left the bone storage building and headed for the last building at the end of the street. The church. I walked up to the doors and they were very plain. Two wooden doors, no Gothic architecture, no cross, just a couple of wooden doors that looked like they were about to fall off their hinges. I hesitated, turned, and looked back down the street. I knew they were there, but couldn't see them. This was where they had been hurting me all along. I held my gun and flashlight at the ready, knowing I was in for a fight as soon as the doors opened. I took a deep cleansing breath, then shoved the doors open. I shone my flashlight all around, my eyes darting to the dark corners, except they weren't dark. There were candles lit all around. It was quite beautiful. It was also quite empty. There was no one there. Even empty and well lit, it gave off a creepy vibe. Why do empty churches always do that? You would think it would be the opposite. My senses went on high alert. I didn't trust it. It must be a trap. As I continued to scan back and forth, looking for any hiding spots among the pews, I noticed there was one person there. In the first pew, bent over so I could barely see them. I slowly made my way forward, head on a swivel as I approached the lone figure. When I was nearly there, it looked like he was barely breathing. I came around in front of the creature and aimed my gun. She looked up at me. She was naked and her hands and mouth were bound. As soon as she saw me, she started screaming into the gag in her mouth. She was screaming so hard her face turned red. I reached down and slid the gag off her mouth. "It's a trap!" she screamed. I looked up and saw my worst nightmare. There were creatures, dozens of them. Each one looked vaguely human, but they were deformed. There was one that had one healthy arm and a second that was shriveled up. One had only one single leg but still managed to hop towards me. Another had no legs but used its arms to crawl on the floor. None of them had a full set of teeth, but they all had a look of hunger and rage in their eyes. They came from everywhere. Some even crawled their way down from hiding places in the ceiling, like some horrific Spider-Man. They swarmed towards the front of the church. I looked around for anywhere to go, anywhere to hide, when I locked eyes on the door that looked like a closet. "Come on," I said, grabbing her and dragging her over to the door.
"No, I can't. Please don't take me,"
she said, tugging against me. "We go in here or we die," I said, cutting the ropes around her wrists and putting my jacket around her shoulders. She reluctantly came along with me as the horde of creatures was nearly on us. "Quick," I said, opening the door and shoving her through. I slammed it shut behind me, taking out my knife and jamming it into the wooden doorframe to keep it shut. I turned and nearly ran over her. She hadn't moved. She was standing there staring into the dark. I shone my flashlight in front of us and saw a rickety staircase descending into the darkness.
"Please, don't make me go down there," she whimpered.
"We don't have a choice," I said. "They'll be through this door soon."
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Pounding had gotten louder. She turned towards the door, then pulled my jacket closer around her and took a deep breath. I stepped around her and led the way, shining my light all around, trying to make sure we wouldn't run into any surprises. The boards creaked menacingly with every step I took. I couldn't see what was underneath, but had no desire to find out the fast way. I looked back and she was still staring down. I held my hand out and she slowly took one step, then another. Her bare feet were filthy. I wonder if she was getting splinters as she took each step slowly and gingerly, as if walking on hot coals. As she had taken a few steps, I turned back to guide our way. The staircase was long and attached to an uneven stone wall. At some points, it jutted out far enough I had to squeeze around just to get to the next step. It was getting colder as we descended. I started missing my jacket, but knew she needed it more. The spiderwebs weren't helping my anxiety either. I wondered if they were made by a deadly breed. I glanced back and saw she was still working her way down the stairs. When I looked forward again, there was a creature coming up the stairs towards us. I didn't think, just reached. I barely had the gun pointed until I fired. The creature fell back with shock frozen on its face and tumbled down the stairs. I instantly regretted my action, as my ears were already ringing from the gunshot in such an enclosed space. I turned around to check on her, but she was curled up in a fetal position sitting on a step, ears covered, rocking back and forth. "It's okay," I tried to say, but my voice sounded strange. I guess temporary deafness will do that. At least I hoped it was temporary. I was unsure if she had heard me, so I touched her shoulder, and she was immediately recoiled and climbed several stairs backing away. I bent down to her. "Look, I know you're scared. I would be too. But if we're going to get out of this, we have to do it together. If I'm going to have to check on you every few steps, we'll be helpless if another one of those things attacks."
I don't want to go down there," she stammered.
I looked ahead and then back up at her. "We have no choice." I turned and started down the stairs again. After around a dozen steps,
I turned to see she had stood and was slowly making her way down again. I kept going until I made it to the bottom and kicked the corpse of the creature out of the way. I looked around, but there wasn't much to see. It was a passageway made of some rough-cut rock walls and a dirt floor. I turned to see her make it to the last step. Her eyes were wide with fear. I could only imagine what she had already been through. She looked away as she stepped past the corpse. I decided to make a little conversation as we walked down the endless passageway to get her to focus on something other than our situation. "You're from the camper, aren't you?" I said. She nodded absently as she stared at the floor. "Were you going on vacation?" Another nod. I saw the kids' toothbrushes on the bathroom sink. "How many do you have?" Her eyes glazed over.
"Two boys."
"And your husband, is he with you?" She nodded. "Where were you headed?"
"Vegas."
"What made you stop here?" "The kids wanted to see the abandoned town." Tears streamed down her dirty cheeks, making lines on her face. "Would you like me to stop talking?" She nodded. We continued forward in silence. The chill of the place made me shiver, but not just because of the temperature. The thought of being attacked at any moment was more than keeping me on my toes. It was wearing on my nerves. After some distance, we came to an opening that stretched out into a full room. She stopped and stared. I was puzzled at first until I noticed the smell. It was the stench of death. I shone my light around the room. The first corner I came to held a pile of bones. There was no denying these ones were human. They were large and the right shape. There was even a couple of full torsos still together that hadn't deteriorated yet. In the next corner, there was three bodies hanging from the dirt ceiling. It looked like a man and two boys. They had been strung up by their arms and were covered in blood. There were innumerable cuts and puncture wounds, but the most horrid sight was the many bites that were taken out of them. She collapsed and began to sob. I knew right away this was her family. "I'm so sorry," I said. She looked at me with a mix of hopelessness and rage.
"I tried to tell you not to come down here," she said with quiet forcefulness.
"I'm sure we could find some way to." She shook her head violently.
"You don't understand," she said, looking me straight in the eyes for the first time. "This is the trap."
She stood up straight for the first time since I had seen her in the church, took off my jacket, and tossed it behind her. She was beautiful, even though she was covered in filth.
"My children need food," she said, stretching out her arm.
In an instant, two deformed creatures appeared and stood beside her. She stroked the thinning hair on their heads as they cooed at her. "So, there was no woman in the camper," I said, trying to stall for time until I could come up with a plan.
"Oh no, there was a woman. She was taken to the birthing house. She will give my children their own children."
"Against her will, of course." She looked at me with disdain.
"She is a tool we use to survive, just like my ancestors were treated as tools to be used in the mines."
I glanced around the room and saw several more creatures emerge from the shadows and advance slowly towards me. I knew I was trapped. My mind scrambled for some plan, any plan to escape the horrors that awaited me. I glanced at the three bloody, mangled bodies dangling from the ceiling, and I knew that would be my fate.
I made my decision and didn't hesitate to implement it. In a flash, I drew my pistol and shot her in the forehead. The sound was still echoing when I started to run back the passageway I had come from. I hoped that the shock of seeing their mother die would give me at least a head start before the horde of creatures hunted me down and tore me to shreds. Time seemed to move in slow motion. I felt like I was running underwater. Every move, every step seemed incredibly slow. I knew they would catch me. There was no doubt about that. It was only a matter of time. The one thing that kept me from giving up was the sheer will to live. I swung the flashlight as I ran, making shadows jump and fly around. I arrived at the bottom of the stairs much sooner than I thought possible, and threw myself up two at a time, praying that I didn't trip. The horde was hot on my heels. I could hear them getting closer. The grunts and gnarls spurred me on even faster. I felt something brush against my heel and knew I had to act. I didn't bother looking back. I fired two shots into the closest one. I heard the inhuman scream and the sound of falling bodies. I risked a glance back to see them all tumbling down the stairs. I breathed a sigh of relief as I reached the door and struggled to pry my knife out of the wood. After a few agonizing long seconds, it came free, and I dove through the door. Much to my surprise and relief, the church was empty. They must have all gone another way to trap me below. I looked over at the dozens of glowing candles and ran straight towards them, knocking over as many as I could. I ran to the far wall and did the same on my way out the door. Once I was through, I turned back and jammed my knife into the door so they wouldn't open. I didn't waste time celebrating my close escape. I ran down the middle of the street so I would have a good view of anyone or anything chasing me. It didn't take long until I heard footsteps behind me. They sounded more like a pack of dogs chasing me. I glanced back and sure enough, there was a half dozen deformed creatures in hot pursuit against the backdrop of the church engulfed in flames. I took some solace in the fact that at least some of the unnatural bastards must have burnt up in the blaze. I had a stitch in my side and my leg muscles burned, but I didn't dare slow down. Even at the speed I was running, they were catching up. I wasn't sure if I'd make it back to the truck before they got me. It was going to be close. I reached the truck and breathed a sigh of relief that I hadn't locked it. By the time I got the keys into the ignition and started it, they were on me. I locked the doors and slammed it into reverse as the first body flew into my windshield, shattering it. I got some momentum going as another landed on the hood and another grabbing my door handle. I swung the truck around and slammed on the brakes, sending them flying. I threw it in drive and stomped on the gas, spraying gravel. I hadn't gone more than a few yards when another freak landed in the truck bed and started pounding on the cab roof. I could see the dents getting deeper. It would be through soon. Suddenly, the pounding stopped. I kept my eyes on the road but turned to see what was happening. It smashed through my rear window, grabbing me by the neck. I swerved to try to break its grip to no avail. I could feel myself starting to black out. I knew this would have been a death sentence. I pointed my gun out the window, but the creature grabbed it before I could aim it at its head. My mind raced faster than the truck that was hurtling down the dirt road at breakneck speeds. I was seeing stars. I knew it was a matter of minutes until the end, if not seconds. I squeezed the trigger. The gun went off right beside its head, missing by a few inches. I was done. It howled in pain and fear at the sound and the heat of the round going off. Amazingly, it let go of the gun. I aimed it at its head and squeezed the trigger again.
Blood ran on me as its head snapped back, and it fell into the bed of the truck with a heavy thump. I sat the gun on the seat beside me as I breathed huge gulps of air, wiping the blood out of my eyes. My vision returned just in time for the turn onto the main road. The tires screeched as they bit into the asphalt on the way to the ranger station. I got there shortly after sunrise, pulling into the parking lot space, and sat back in the seat. Exhaustion and an adrenaline crash sapped my energy. I fell asleep. I woke to the sound of someone knocking on my window. I whipped around, grabbing the gun off the seat and swinging it back around at the window. "Whoa there, son," the old ranger said, raising his hands. "What's got your panties in a bunch?" I took a deep breath, lowering the gun in the window, then told him the whole story. The longer I went, the more serious he became. Until the story was done, his face was made of granite. He stuck his hand in the window. "Keys?" he said. I pulled the keys out of the ignition and handed them to him. "Go inside and get yourself cleaned up," he said. "I'll take care of this." I stepped out of the truck on shaky legs and walked into the ranger station, threw away my bloody uniform, and took a long shower. By the time I had finished and changed into a fresh uniform, the other ranger was back. He stepped inside the station and scanned the room until he found me. "All taken care of," he said with a crooked smile. "What do you mean?" I asked. "Did you call the police?" He looked around the handful of rangers that were milling around the room, trying to make it look like they were not listening to our conversation. "Yeah, we're not going to get the police involved in this," he said. "What? Why not?" He looked at me with an odd determination in his eyes. "So you really killed her, did ya?" he said. "Of course. It was her or me." "Most of the folks around here give that place a wide berth," he said. "There's signs all over saying no trespassing and danger. You'd think it was almost natural selection for those who ignore all the warnings." "But those travelers." "And then there are others who visit that place on the down low, all quiet-like," he said as if I hadn't said anything. "These folks might say you robbed them of their fun. You might even call them conjugal visits. There might even be some of those folks in this very room." I stared at him in disbelief, then looked around the room and saw every set of eyes focused on me. There wasn't a smile or even a hint of one that suggested this was a joke. He clapped his hands on my shoulder. "Why don't you head home and rest today?" he said. "You've had a long night. We'll take care of things." He ushered me towards the door, pausing before opening it. "Just remember that nothing happened," he said. "Because if the police get an anonymous phone call, we might have to drive out and grab a couple of children to come visit your house in the middle of the night. You get me?" I nodded my head in a daze as he opened the door. That's the story I tell when people don't take the hint and stay away from this town. It's been years, and every once in a while, I hear of travelers that disappeared in the area. I shake my head and wonder.